1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Say, friends, if you'd like a copy of our number one rated Phil Hendry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD or vinyl, and we have that picture disc vinyl, it's awesome, call 877-616-PHIL, 877-616-7445. All of the money we raise with the sale of the number one rated Phil Hendry Show Best of 2000 CD or album vinyl goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And you can pay by way of Visa, MasterCard, or check. And we've raised, thanks to you and your generosity, $104,431. Totally awesome. Very, very cool. We really appreciate everything that you've done. And we'll keep you updated. And we're going to really seriously, have you been in touch at all, Mike? Because I think we'd like to do a signing for our vinyl. Because we really want to get that vinyl out there. We really want you to see it. It's very cool. It's a limited edition thing. And that means that, you know, there's only so many of them, and then they're all gone. And I don't know that we'll do a vinyl again next year. I think picture disc is something you just do once, and that's it. So it will be interesting. Now, we're doing our open phones for this hour, 1-800-449-8686. Anything that's on your mind, you can talk with us about. And all you got to do is just give us a call, 1-800-449-8686. We do have a couple of callers holding on, one of them about Bush's summit with President Vicente Fox in Mexico today. He had a meeting with President Fox in Mexico at President Fox's ranch. And if you've traveled at all to Mexico over the last year, as I have, you know that this is a very popular guy down there. He, over basically the election of Vicente Fox, overthrew 70 years of the Institutional Revolutionary Party, the PRI. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Austin. Austin, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Real good, sir.
Phil, I wanted to, I don't want to talk about the Iraq thing.
No, go ahead. Anything you want.
Yeah, I do want to talk about the President Bush going down to Mexico.
Go ahead.
I think you said that Vicente Fox is popular, but this guy Fox is very smart, and he is a new president. And I think people need to understand that President Bush is new. He's not. I don't think he's all that bright.
You don't think Bush is bright?
I don't think he's as bright as Clinton was. He's intelligent, but he's not street smart. That's what I'm talking about. Now, this guy, Vicente Fox, I believe could be setting him up by using him as a high-level mule. And
no, you need to explain what that is, okay?
Well, a mule, let me explain what I mean by that. A mule is a common term used for someone who couriers drugs from Mexico to the United States. And only in this case, I think President Bush would be unaware.
Well, this is a serious charge. If you are saying what I think you're saying, and it sounds very fantastic, Fox is going to try to plant drugs on Bush?
I think that Fox, the drugs would be planted on President Bush once he's arrested, or at least detained, then Fox comes to the rescue.
And what would be the purpose of this?
I think that President Fox would plant drugs on President Bush so that when President Bush is arrested at the border...
He's probably flying. But are you talking about customs?
When the president goes through customs and they pat him down and they find drugs, that's when Vicente Fox can come in, say, I know who planted it, I'll arrest the guy, and basically save his bacon. Bush is then cleared and Vicente Fox suddenly is his hero and he calls the tune that Bush dances to for the next 4 years.
I don't know. It sounds pretty far out, sir. I mean, the President of the United States is down there on a summit. Why?
The President of Mexico, Mr. Henry, has an opportunity to become the de facto President of the United States. That's the answer to your question, why?
That seems to me like a big chance that he's taking, planting drugs on the President of the United States.
It's a big chance, but there's a big payoff, and this guy Fox is smart enough, I think, to take advantage of that. And if he could save President Bush by telling him who planted the drug by making up the name of somebody.
What he would be doing then is planting drugs on President Bush. Bush goes across the border. People find the drugs on President Bush. Fox says, I know who did it. He would be incriminating an innocent man.
I don't know. You know,
because the people who are going to be planting the drugs on Bush are going to obviously be people working for Fox.
That's correct.
So if he comes up with a guy that he actually arrested, that's an innocent guy.
Well, it would obviously be somebody who is not guilty, yes, sir. But I will tell you something right now. If this happens, if this is true, every time Bush, every time Fox takes a dump over the next 4 years, guess who's standing there to wipe?
Well,
guess who's standing there to wipe?
I guess it would be Bush.
You got it.
All right, 1-800-449. Your name's Austin?
Yes, sir.
Hold on. Okay, that's an interesting point of view. Although, as far-fetched as it sounds, I can't imagine it happening. 1-800-449-8686. Essentially, what this guy's saying is that Vicente Fox could plant drugs on Bush. Bush could get popped by the Border Patrol. Fox comes in and saves the day and says, I know who did it. And to quote this guy, every time Fox takes a dump, who's there to wipe. Look, Mike, clean up the act of some of these people, will you? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Let me ask you.
Tell me I'm wrong, though, Mr. Henry. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, the logic is pretty interesting.
I propose they keep an eye on this guy Fox. You don't know where he'll try to slip them in. The best time for Fox to do it.
You're talking about planting the drugs.
Planting the drugs, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When?
The best time, I believe, for him to do it is when they do the photo opportunities. He puts his arm around Bush to show his friendship and drops them in the upper pocket of his jacket. You know, or he does the old, you drop your handkerchief, oh, you drop this, picks up, gives it to him, and there's drugs inside. I will tell you right now that the drug problem in Mexico is so severe, and the focus of the drug problem is so intense on Mexico, they've got to take the onus off of them.
Because it doesn't make any sense. I mean,
no, it makes perfect sense if you think about how Mexico is being focused on as a hotbed of drug activity. This way, they turn the tables.
But to plant drugs on President Bush, you know,
think about it. That's the only way that Fox could control American drug policy is if Bush owed him a favor.
I'm not even sure that the President of the United States is subject to arrest at the border.
He's got to go through immigration.
You're sure?
Yes, I am sure, sir. Yes, sir.
Does he get his baggage looked at? Does he get frisked?
Yeah, I don't know. But he's got to go through immigration, and I believe he's got to go through customs, which is, what are you bringing in? Now, when you fly into the United States, they give you a card, and it tells you to fill out the card, and what are you bringing into the country? Bush fills that out. He's not declaring any drugs, so that means...
Wait a second. Bush doesn't have to fill that out.
Everybody's got to fill that out.
That card that they give you, because I know the one you're talking about.
Yes, sir. That's for immigration and customs. So basically, I mean...
All right, so what you're saying is Bush is going down there on this summit. Vicente Fox plants drugs on him. Bush gets arrested for trying to smuggle drugs into the United States. The President of the United States, you're saying?
Yes, I am.
And then they find the drugs, and Fox comes to the rescue and say it wasn't President Bush, it was this guy who planted them. He saves the day, and Bush owes him a favor.
Bush owes him a favor. Big-time favor. And as I said, that makes Vicente Fox the de facto president of the United States of America. And I will tell you something right now. That scares me. I think it should scare a lot of Americans.
Well, it's a really far-out premise that I'm not sure that I don't know. But the one thing he says that I think is interesting is that Bush could get frisked for drugs at the border. I don't know if that's true, but that's what he claims. And if somebody plants drugs on Bush when he's coming back to the United States and he gets patted down by customs, they find the drugs, yeah, he's in trouble. How's he going to get anybody to believe they were planted on him? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
time I do that.
Okay, you realize that I'm keeping you on the air to answer questions from callers, right?
I understand that, yes, sir. But what I'm saying is this information that I have comes from a friend of mine who had worked for 20 years in the Secret Service.
No, I understand it. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Austin, you're saying that President Bush could have drugs planted on him by President Vicente Fox, and therefore the president would be arrested by customs, and therefore the customs agents, Fox would have to come in and save him, right?
That is absolutely correct, yes, sir.
All right, let's go to a phone call, and then I'll tell you why you might be wrong. Here is Bobby. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
First thing, he can calm down because Bush is already home. He's been home for a couple hours.
I know that.
Okay.
He's home, but this
security,
is just
security reasons, you wouldn't get near Air Force One.
No, no,
Secret
I'm not talking
Service
about Air Force
let,
One.
Let customs about, get by him.
Wait a minute. You're not hearing me.
Right.
Vicente Fox, the president of Mexico, has had access to the person of George Bush, shaking his hand, putting his arm around him. You follow me?
I do, but customs will not even interact with the president. They won't. They won't do it.
He can plant drugs. Well, I don't know that you know that for a fact.
Even me walking in and out of Mexico, I go over there and buy what I want, get in a line, walk through. I don't fill out any card.
At
random, they'll ask if you have anything to declare.
If
you have anything to declare, you'll fill out a paper.
If
not, you walk through. You're a citizen. That's it. Boom.
You obviously haven't traveled that far into Mexico. If you travel by air, you have to fill out immigration and customs paperwork, and you are subject to inspection by immigration and customs. President Bush is the same thing.
You're saying the President of the United States is going to have a customs agent frisking him.
Right. What if they find drugs?
They're not going to frisk him. He doesn't fly like you or I do.
How do you know?
I just know they won't.
You don't
It'd be
know.
Stupid.
No, you don't know.
It'd be foolish.
Why is it foolish? If the president's trying to bring drugs in...
Well, you didn't say that he's trying to bring drugs in.
Vicente Fox is trying to make George Bush's mule. It's possible.
I've got enough confidence in our system that they wouldn't even... That couldn't happen.
That's the whole reason, brother, why the government gets away with what it does. Because guys like you just have, quote, confidence in the system. Okay?
Well, what exactly is it that you're afraid of? You're afraid that...
Bush is just as... He's just as subject to a full anal cavity search as you and me. Okay?
I don't think that's true.
That's
just my opinion,
I just don't think it is. But I'm telling you what the truth is. You got your opinion. I got what is the truth. Bush would do Fox's bidding for sure to get out of some kind of a body cavity search.
All right, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. So George Bush is subject to a full anal cavity search, right?
That's exactly right. The President of the United States is no different from anybody else in that he must be frisked at the border. He must be looked at. He must be...
Oh, baloney.
Well, I'm telling you...
How do you know, man?
Because I've got a friend who spent 20 years working in customs. Now, you can say what you want, but the President of the United States is subject to a full... And I'm just afraid customs is going to find a balloon full of dope in his butt crack.
Well, he's back in the United States now, so obviously...
We don't know what they found, do we?
No, we don't know what they found, but he's back in the United States right now. And, look, get out of here.
I'm telling you, they're going to find dope in his ass.
I'm not going to buy that. 1-800-449-8686. There's no way that they're finding dope in George Bush's ass back from Mexico. But that was the whole thing that I was talking about last hour. Then some guy called here off the air during the break. Hey, how come you got mad at the guy who made the crack about the PlayStation 2? Just because I don't need it, man. Now, look at that. We go open phones and take a call from a guy, and he's talking about Bush smuggling dope over the border. Now, forget the fact that his father probably was in the drug business. I'm just kidding. I don't want to go down there, Don't want to go down that road because I know it freaks out so many of our friends. So I won't mention that his old man was probably responsible for importing more cocaine into this country than any single human being in the history of the world. I won't say anything about that. I'll just say that George W. himself probably every now and again packs a balloon in his rear end. But then if a guy actually says that on the air, I'll hang up on him because I think it's crack. I mean crap. It might be crack. I mean crap. I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. All right, let me get to just a couple of things here. Number one, thanks a million to Medallion Media. Thank you very much, and it was Michelle who sent me 10 tickets to see the L.A. Extreme. Now, the only reason why I want to go see the L.A. Extreme is to, first of all, show my kids a so-called professional football game. Now, the reviews on this XFL have been terrible. They've been terrible. There's no buzz. I don't hear anybody talking about this league anymore. They were talking about it first off, you know, when the first week approached. But after the first game and now after the second game, the buzz is gone. There's nobody talking about it anymore. And before the season started, I remember saying it would be really nice for the LA Extreme to lay some free tickets on me, okay? Now, it's business. It has nothing to do with whether I think I'm a great guy. It's business. One of the problems that exists in the world today is the market. Sports marketing is terrible. Professional sports teams that need to get people in the stadium to watch their product, they don't know anything. They don't know anything about how to market their product. They just simply know nothing. They can't get any word of mouth going about their team. They can't get any buzz going about their team because they have some arrangement with the radio station that broadcasts their games or whatever the hell it is. I bet you whatever station carries the Extreme games is told by the Extreme that you can't say anything bad about the team or the league. I'll bet you money because I've been in that situation millions of times. I worked for the Atlanta Brave flagship in Atlanta. I worked for the Minnesota Twin flagship in Minneapolis. I worked for the Dolphin flagship in Miami. When I was in Los Angeles briefly, they had the Raiders. And they all say the same thing. You can't talk bad about the team. That's the trade-off. If you get to broadcast their games, then you have to lick their rear ends the rest of the week. For the privilege of broadcasting their games, you get to lick their rear ends 6 days out of seven. No, make that 7 days out of seven, because once the broadcast is on the air, all it is rear end licking. So the Extreme probably has that kind of a deal with whatever radio station, whatever piddly, boring, crappy radio station it is that carries their games. Which one is it? Oh, that one. Well, they're not too bad. I like their morning show. Anyway, so I got these tickets from this nice lady because I came on the air and I said, look, if you guys want to get some buzz, give me some freebies here, man. I'll talk about your team. I'll take my kids to the game. We'll talk about the stuff that's going on. We'll get people excited about it. I haven't been to a game yet because I was on vacation and, you know. But because I'm so interested in maybe taking my kids to see a so-called pro football game, I had to go and buy my own tickets because the Extreme, man, they ain't going to do nothing for us. They're going to just do a deal with whatever the radio station is that carries their games, and they don't even so much as respond to us talking about them on the air. So this really nice lady sent me 10 tickets, and you know what I'm going to do with them? I'm going to tear them up right now on the air. I don't want to use these tickets. I'm ripping them. I'm only kidding. That was the letter that came with it. I'm going to use them. I tore up your letter, Michelle, but that's okay. I already read it. It was a very nice letter. Thanks. Even though it is Plugola, you asked me to plug your company, and I did for your tickets. But hey, you gave me the tickets as a gift. You didn't say I had to plug anything. You suggested that I plug Medallion Media Incorporated. I'm not doing it. You simply suggested that I plug Medallion Media Incorporated there in Los Angeles. So I got these 10 tickets. So what we're going to do, Craig, you want to come with Nikki? How about you and the little lady? Me and my wife, that's six. I got four more. Should we even invite Melissa and Mark, or is she going to sit there and bitch and complain all through the game because she doesn't like football? What's going to happen? Mark likes baseball. I don't know. But anyway, and this is something that Maria ran into this when she was in Sacramento. She was working for a talk station in Sacramento. They had the WNBA, which I told you she really loves and really supports, and she wanted it. She talked up the Sacramento Monarchs. She talked about how great they were. She talked about she wanted to get a bunch of women who were listeners to go with her to a game. They were going to do dinner, and they were going to go to a game. I mean, she was really excited about this league, the WNBA. And you have never met dumber human beings than the people that run that ball club up there. You have never laid eyes on or talk to more clueless individuals than the people that run that Monarchs WNBA team. They didn't get that it was valuable promotion that Maria was giving them. She is my wife, and of course I'm going to talk good about her whenever I can. Oh, I got to take a break. Honey, I love you. I did what you asked. I talked to you.
¶¶
1-800-449-8686. So Craig saw some show last night that says that we didn't actually land on the moon, and now he's like all over it, man. Just, yeah, it's cool. It's possible. Bull crap. We landed on the moon. How do I know? I don't know, but we did. Maybe? We landed on the moon. There's no conspiracy, man. Does everything have to be a freaking conspiracy these days? What has happened to us as people, as a race, as a nation, as ball fans? What's happened? I mean, everything is a bloody conspiracy now. Well, you know, even me, last time, talking about Bush. Well, he pulled that whole thing in Iraq just so he could get a little ink. I think that's true, though. I'm not saying on a conscious level, but I think on some subconscious level, Bush pulls the Iraq thing because he's feeling a little lonely. He's feeling a little left out of the loop. He wants to do something big. He wants to make a statement to the American people. I think it's human. I think it's normal. I think it's natural. And Craig, by the way, says that conspiracies are fun, and he spells conspiracy C-O-N-S-P-E-R-S-Y. Okay. You belong in any militia. Take your pick. Any militia you want to talk about, you're a freaking charter member. Lifetime, brother. Conspiracies are fun unless you got a whole lot of people going ape on it. And this trip about we didn't land on the moon, it was a soundstage in Hollywood. That's what they said. Didn't you see Capricorn 1? Oh, Area 51. Oh, I forgot about that one. Did you see Capricorn 1? That's what that whole movie was about a phony baloney moon landing that never took place. Don't you think the Russians would be all over that? They'd be all over that like white on rice, man, if they thought for 1 minute we never landed on the moon. They'd be presenting all of their evidence and all their film footage. I just don't know what's happened to this generation, and it started probably with Watergate, maybe before, I don't know, but Americans just simply can't let anything go without it having something to do with somebody sticking the old red-hot poker up the bright red rosy. You know what I'm saying? Thank you very much. Okay, let me move along now to our Survivor contestant application. This is the actual application for the movie Survivor, for the television show, I should say, and it's a show that we are big supporters of. We really love that show. So if you'll forgive me, anybody from Survivor listening, if I'm busted some copyright by reading this on the air, but come on, loosen it up a little bit, okay? Take a chill freaking pill. Take a cigarette break. Here it is. You may apply to be a contestant on Survivor by completing and submitting this application. Please note the following eligibility requirements must be met in order to proceed with the application process. You must be willing to travel at your own expense to be interviewed in April or May 2001 or as otherwise scheduled by the producers at one of the following locations nearest you: New York, New York City, Philadelphia, Boston, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Denver, Salt Lake City, Chicago, Detroit, Minneapolis, Green Bay, Dallas, or Miami. Dallas, Austin, or Miami. Why not Milwaukee? Why Green Bay? Let's just, is that part of the Survivor thing? Right off the bat, let's screw with them, okay? You know, you got L.A., New York, Chicago, Miami, Atlanta, Green Bay, and then it's throwing Moose Jaw or something. Why Green Bay? They're messing with you. It must be a conspiracy, Craig. Call them. Okay, number B. You must be willing to travel to Los Angeles for up to 2 weeks in May or early June, or as otherwise scheduled by the producers for the final selection process. Pre-approved economy travel, round trip to and from Los Angeles, and your home in the United States, and lodging to be provided and paid for by the producers. So that's when you make the cut. You have to travel at your own expense for cut number one. Cut number two, though, baby, they'll fly in. C, you must be willing to travel to a remote location selected by the producers for 7 weeks in July and August of 2001, or is otherwise scheduled by the producers. Economy travel to be paid for by the producers. I bet you the producers are traveling first class, though. You know, you guys, you got the number one show on television. These people are going to make your show for the duration of the fall season, winter season. These people will be the stars that will be driving the engine of success that is Survivor, okay? And you're flying them economy? That's it. I don't want to be on your show. You must be at least 21 years of age. You must be a United States citizen, live in the United States. You must not now be a candidate for public office and must agree not to become one until after initial broadcast of all programs in which you appear. Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? You may not be running for office. That's the equal time so-called provisions. You must be in excellent physical and mental health. Now, how do they determine that? At some point, they must be asking for a doctor's letter that you're in good physical shape. But how do they determine mental health? Well, the fact is they can't. That's why Waitasi and that freaking Tahid got on that Temptation Island. Talk about a couple. And that's why that Billy is still on Temptation Island. They can't guarantee mental health. That guy's as goofy as two coats of freaking paint. If you're selected to be interviewed, you must timely complete and return prior to the date of your physical, your personal interview, the completed medical history form, here we go, to be furnished to you by the producers. To accept an invitation to be a semi-finalist, you must complete and timely return the competitor form package, which will be furnished to you by the producers. It will include, among other things, an applicant agreement, including release forms and waivers for review and signature by you and your family members, and you must submit to physical and psychological examinations. Oh, what kind of a psych test do they give you? To be conducted in Los Angeles by medical professionals selected by the producer and meet all physical and psychological requirements. So what if you have some Oedipal thing? Can they pick that up, that you want to have sex with your own mother, or does it matter? What if you're neurotic? Not necessarily psychotic, but neurotic. And what if you are psychotic? And again, how did Billy get by this thing? I thought this was interesting. You have to sign waivers. Those are always really suspicious. Because these waivers, I got a theory, and if there's anybody out there who's an attorney and who's interesting enough to actually make it on the air with Phil Hendry, because, as you know, we have our own cut, I would love to test those waivers in a court of law. You know, the ones that say, if you're impaled on a steel spike after being dropped 15 stories from a building, you hold us completely faultless. You hold the producers completely unresponsible for what happened to you. And another thing, if you're mowed down by a powerboat, if you are shredded in the propeller of a no, we're not to blame. If you're eaten alive by an alligator, I think that's crap. I don't think that they can hold it up. I bet you anything you could take them to court and you could own CBS. Go ahead, try it. If you're selected as a semifinalist, you agree to authorize producers to conduct background checks. Cool. That's like, you know, in other words, if some reciprocity for child molestation, anything. God, I loved it when they got to bust more people. Throw them off the island more often. Hey, you, yeah? We found out there's a whole thing, flashing women near the Trader Joe's. You're out of here. Yeah, that's yours. Well, you don't have a picture of my face. We don't need one. All applicants have a valid U.S. passport or be in the process of obtaining a passport. The process will be completed in time for the applicant to travel to the remote location. Employees, officers, directors, and agents of CBS, all their stockholders, yada, 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 you may not be allowed in this thing. Applicants must be written clearly or typed. Applications must be written clearly or typed. Length, maximum of 3 minutes. Anything over 3 minutes will not be considered. What's that? A videotape of yourself. Only VHS. The content of the videotape must be who you are and why you would make the ultimate survivor. Be creative. How about if you open up with your ass cheeks just spread? You know, as the camera is, you know, they go from black, there's the guy's ass, and you're talking with your ass. Well, that's creative, but I guess I don't pass that psych test, do I? Deadline, completed application videotape must be received by midnight April 13th, you guys. The videotape will be retained by producers and will not be returned to you whether or not you are selected as a contestant. Don't do that. You see, that's the thing. They should not be allowed to do that. You should be allowed to keep your videotape. What are they going to use it for? I'll tell you, they're going to use it. Because at some future date, they got another stupid TV show idea. The tapes we got from Survivor applicants who didn't make it. This Wednesday night on CBS. That's how bad people want to be on television. They'll sign away every right that they have in the book. Completed application form, copy of proof of valid passport size photo, blah, blah, blah. Here's all these cities. Survivor, personal information, nickname. If any. Now we get to the questions. If you have children, please list their names and ages. What is your current occupation? In which other occupations, if any, have you been employed? What is your level of education? What schools did you attend? Name three of your favorite hobbies. What if it's like chess, smoking, and drinking? But you come in there ripped and you're buff. I mean, not including your current place of residence, in which other cities and or countries have you lived and for what period of time? What could that? What possible relevance could that have? Have you been treated for any serious physical or mental illnesses within the last 3 years? Here's that mental illness thing popping up again. If yes, please describe in detail, citing dates, diagnosis. You know what they're really afraid of? Either whether it's Temptation Island or whether it's Survivor. The crew arriving one morning to shoot that day's activities, and there's just like pig in blood written on one of the tents, and you don't even want to go in. You know, somebody's gone nuts. Like Billy. Please list any allergies you have. List three adjectives that best describe yourself. That could be a lot of laughs going through those applications and people just spending all night trying to come up with the three adjectives. If you could hold any political office, what would it be and why? Oh, I get it. If they all say president, then we have too many chiefs and not enough Indians. What is the accomplishment you're most proud of? Do you have pets? If so, list their name and type. Are you a vegetarian or do you eat meat? One of these people's a vegetarian on this Survivor. That's bright. That's a home run. She's a vegetarian and a guy caught a pig last night. Guess she's going to be eating meat by the end of this thing, I guarantee you. And she's a flaming bitch from what I understand. That's not my word. That's Craig Taylor's. I'm just quoting him. Start eating some meat, honey. And you know what I'm talking about, too. Describe your perfect day. What magazines do you read? Do you belong to any affiliations or organizations? That's boring. So there it is. There's the Survivor application. Go to it. It's on the Survivor website. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. This is Daryl Weber, and this is Funky Chicken Cacophony Liquor Jamboree. Oh, yeah. I will tell you right now, we are all about the blues. I got my friend, my cousin, is also my best friend, ML, is here. ML, what you think?
Yeah, all that this program is about is the blues.
That's right. It ain't about nothing else.
It ain't about nothing else. It's not about talking politics. Nothing, man. This show's about the blues.
That's right. And we do all the dedications, everything you want to do. Now, I love the blues, and I've got a great, great program lined up for you tonight. Isn't that right?
Right, man. Daryl Weber, he do it right. And you got a great show. I love this first track you got. Hold on.
Get it, man. You're going to love this. This is Sonny Boy Williamson.
The hell you doing?
I love it. This is the blues.
This ain't the blues.
Yeah, it is. Sonny Boy Williamson.
Bull crap, man. That old Sonny Boy, that's a white man.
Say what?
That's a damn white man. Get it off.
I think you're...
Wait for me. What are you doing, man?
But sleep won't come.
That's the blues.
Bull, that ain't no blues, man. That's a white man singing country music.
No, I would get you. Wait. Ow. Now you're gonna hurt me if you don't do what.
Get out of there, man. Come on.
When I love the blues.
Well, if you don't love this music, because that ain't the blues.
Like falling rain.
He's crazy to start with. You know. One thing, I think he's a weenie. Well, because if his wife asked him to do something like that, and if it was my wife, okay. I'm in construction.
Okay, what you do?
Okay. I'm a contractor.
Are you general?
Yeah. I'm a contractor in Tampa, Florida.
Well, are you sub and, or you sub out? Are you general?
Yeah, I'm a sub.
What kind of sub work you do?
I'm a painting contractor.
Okay.
So I'm on the job all the time.
Have you with
the help.
You know what I mean about urinating into a man's truck, right?
He's crazy. I've never heard of his. Look, if I was urinating in the back of some guy's truck that either works for me or somebody else like that, you know, they'd probably come up and knock me out of the truck and want to know what the heck I'm doing to start with.
Boy,
you
no
know,
kidding.
This thing is asinine. I've never heard anything like that in my life.
Mike, this is Phil Henry. It's been years since I worked in construction, but I never heard of being able to crawl up in the back of a guy's truck.
I've never.
That's standard in California. Where are you, sir?
I'm in Tampa, Florida.
All right, what's standard in California when there are not enough Portisans or not enough Andy Gumps? You can urinate in the back of a man's truck.
Wait a second. In California?
Yes, sir.
No.
Yes, sir. My gosh. Yes, he's crazy.
Well, California, I mean, you know, I'm not knocking people in California, but a lot of them is fruitcakes or whatever.
Well, I'm just saying if you don't have an Andy Gump, you know, if you don't have a Portisan, that's all I'm trying
to say. If there's not a porta potty around, which there's plenty of them around, even if they're full, I mean, my gosh, you know, put up the smell, go in and do it inside there. If you can't do it inside, go around behind the building.
One time, though, I went into one of those Portisans, and there was a brand spanking new log in there, and man, I'll tell you, it was the worst thing that I've ever been through.
So what? I mean, I've been through them too, but my gosh, I mean, you know, if you,
know,
you got
yeah.
to do it, I mean, you're in there for just a few seconds.
Well, wait, let me get out. What would you rather do? Go into a Portisan where somebody just laid a fresh log, or go ahead and pee into the back of some guy's truck?
Let's get off this.
Look, I'm not going to do it in anybody's truck out of respect. I mean, it's a thing of respect.
Even
you know?
In the state of California?
Forget it. I don't care
where it's at. If he's done the fresh log in there, so what? I mean, hold your breath. You're not going to be in there that long.
Well, if
my wife asked me to wear some jockey shorts, boxer shorts with hearts on them, I mean, if you pull your pants all the way down, somebody's going to see them. If they do, so what? The guys would probably laugh at it and razz you about it.
Well, be a man about it.
So what?
All right, well, let me ask you guys a question because maybe I got this wrong. How do you go number one?
What are you talking?
I zip my pants down and take a pee.
Are you asking both of us?
Yes, sir.
I unzip the front of my pants.
I drop my pants all over my ankles.
Well,
why?
That's your problem. I mean, you know, boys do that when they're a little 3 and 4 years old. I mean, you know,
grow up.
I mean, I don't know anybody, any man, that drops his pants down to his ankles to take a whiz, crying out loud.
Wait a second. Steve, you got to be able to do that without dropping your pants.
Well, how else do you do it? I mean, are you guys crazy?
Are you crazy?
No, you unzip your pants and you hang it out and you take a whiz.
And you go, man. What are you talking about? You drop them all the way to your ankles.
That's the standard way that the way I go. I've been going to the bathroom that way for 38 years.
Out in the open? Dude, you just said to me that you're at a construction site and you're worried you're going to get sued for sexual harassment because of your shorts? If you're dropping your pants all the way to your ankles.
He's trying to expose himself.
I do not choose to be laughed at. I didn't come on your program.
Well, listen to what you're saying, man. You're going to take a week. First of all, you're leaking in the back of some guy's truck. Secondly, you're doing it with your pants all the way down. You're lucky some guy doesn't come up behind you with a 2x4.
Exactly.
Oh, so that's what it is, violence.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, man, you can't.
Okay, Mike, you say you're in the construction business. You understand
right.
what I'm saying.
How's that sexual harassment
just because I dropped my pants?
Bill Henry.
Well, the music ran out, and we've still got a few seconds to go, so let me just thank my engineer, Craig Taylor, my producer, Mike Schaefer. Those are two names, by the way, that I just made up because neither one of those people exist. I do the show entirely by myself with no help from anyone else. Thank you.